Who did?
Asher.
Oh. Thank you. How'd you get all the way back there?
It was originally for the outlet, but now.
What?
Originally for the outlet, but now.
Ah, the outlet. Okay, let's get going. We'll have a little bit shorter today, but hopefully tomorrow and going forward, regular schedule, and we'll see if we can move a little more quickly. Okay, so we were discussing, again, the problem in the sugya here, just in brief, is to try to figure out several things, but the one that's grabbing our attention most immediately is the issue of why it is that it's more appropriate to try to trigger the chuppah and the bilas mitzvah bizman ha'aninus as opposed to bizman ha'avelus, as we already discussed, and particularly in light of the fact that one can make the case that aninus is more chamor than avelus. If aninus is really more chamor than avelus, why would we want to pressure the aninus and not pressure the avelus, especially if you hold that avelus is drabanan, or mostly drabanan. Aninus, we certainly know that there are aspects of it that are daraisa, with regard to the avoda and kodshim and maaser sheni, certainly, maybe even with regard to certain other things. So this choice, and this is again, as we noted, captured by those few lines of Tosfos on Daf Dalet Omud Aleph, and again by the Rishonim, who discuss it, particularly the Ritva, and others, the Rajba, who discuss this problem. So this is a very serious problem. So this led us to take a step back and to analyze a little bit more the relationship between Aninus and Avelus, which is obviously a Moed Katan topic, which we can't tackle comprehensively. But at least to get some insight into that and, how that plays out in this particular case of Chasson Oda. So we already discussed on Monday a little bit the question of Kachem Aisasheni, Psulei Avoda, the Pasuk Dachrisa Kiyomar, the difference in terms of Haruge Bezdin, right? Just analyzing those special dinim, we have already seen several different perspectives. One is that this is all about aninus and the intensity of that sense of loss. All of that, kind of intensifies our question, how come we're playing fast and loose with aninus instead of avelus? Again, we, as they say, lo tzuchim lahagzim, you have to make a choice here. It's a difficult choice. So part of the story is to analyze aninus, part of the story is to analyze avelus. But on the surface, the more we think that aninus is a well-established doraisa and an expansive doraisa din in the world of kudshim and beyond, then it's just hard to understand the choice that we're making. Again, we'll come up with some suggestions soon, but this is part of the problem. One way to neutralize part of these questions is to try to neutralize or diminish aninus. I don't mean intentionally. I mean to try to discover whether or not, in fact, we're not wrong about our initial assessment. And doing that would mean saying things like, there's no denying some of the facts, lo achalti boni mimenu, and the kudshim, and the maaser sheni, and the avoda, and so on. But what we might say is that while those things seem to be about aninus, maybe really they're more about, of course, they're still always a little bit about aninus, but since they're about the interface between aninus and other things, maybe it's more about those other things than it is about aninus. It doesn't really highlight the uniqueness of aninus or its intensity. It says something about maaser sheni and kudshim and avoda, and so on. So that's one area. Aninus belayed when it comes to Haruge Bezdin. Also, hard to know whether or not that's the, even Haruge Bezdin have aninus. That's how, intense and chamor, it is. Or no, on the contrary, it's a recognition that aninus the opposite, or something in between. The opposite meaning, even a ruge bezdin can have aninus because aninus, right, is not particularly critical. Halacha, aninus is a very basic thing. It's a it's something which is a minimal thing. So even a ruge bezdin, can have aninus. But true sense of loss and so on that's going to stymie you in your spiritual progression and through life, you know, that you don't have in Harugedez, and that's why you don't have Avelis. As Avelis, we've seen this many, many times, right? You know, when things apply, you know, to one category, not to another, it could be because that category is more urgent and more basic and more fundamental, or it could be because it's actually more trivial, right? It doesn't, the threshold, you know, is something which is uncompromisable and therefore you always have to have it, or it's the opposite. It's just that it doesn't really detract from much. It doesn't compromise much. Haruge Bezdin, not celebrating the life of Haruge Bezdin, isn't compromised by a little bit of aninus, belief. Okay, so that's a way of saying, instead of saying, well, this is so fundamental, even Haruge Bezdin have it, we're saying the other way. It's not really, you know, particularly consequential. The middle position would be to say that, you know, it's just different, and it's aninus, you know, in aninus ela belev, and what we're makbid for in Haruge Bezdin are concrete expressions and norms. That is, that's a celebration of the person's life, and that's maybe kavod, you know, hames, you know, which is focused on him. There are ways to say this, as you know, I mean, already saying in different ways. You know, the din of aninus belev, either because of the greater difficulty in trying to legislate that, or even if that's legislatable, the idea is that it's maybe that's about kavod achayim, you know, and my need to cope, not my need to express my sense of loss of him, meaning the kavod hames. Or, you know, just it isn't a question of kavod achayim and kavod hames, but it's not a violation, at least since it's not a public or an objective expression, so it doesn't tarnish in any way my commitments. You know, it's not like I'm being pulled in two directions. I can have aninus belev, you know, without giving the impression that, you know, I endorse the behavior of Haruge Malchus. So these are all just different ways to look at, you know, these things. So we have the Kachemais Sheni Psula Voda issue. We have the Sanhedrin aninus belev issue. And then, of course, we have the Sugis in the beginning of Brachos, which we were talking about on Monday. Right, and that too, you know, basically breaks down into two big categories. One is Basar V'Yayin. Basar V'Yayin is, you know, clearly a category together. There's no separate Basar and separate Yayin. Basar V'Yayin are together. But the other category, which is the Petur Mitzvos, we're not even sure if that's, you know, not multiple categories. Because the Mishnah expresses it, Kriyashma, Tvila, Tvilin, right, and then Shar Kol Mitzvos HaTorah. We also noted that, again, if it's all based on Tirda, and, you know, the comparison to Chasson, like Rashi and Brachos, so it sounds like it's all one package, right? It's all Bechad HaMachta. If we start, you know, doing what Bali Tosis do, quoting, Psukim of Kriyashma, which particularly focus on the embrace or the need for to be in a life-embracing mode, then you wonder, you know, just as, you know, Kriyashma, Tvila, and do have separate status with regard to the level of Kavana, with regard to the role that they play, etc., whether or not there isn't even more than one category here. But broadly speaking, that aside, what we noted is, again, that there are several perspectives. One is we have to figure out whether these dinim are aninus dinim, or in the interface primarily, you know, Kriyashma, Tvila, Tvilin, Kol Mitzvos HaTorah dinim. That's one issue. And the second issue is to just figure out whether or not we're dealing with Peturim or Hafka'os. And if so, again, based on Kavod HaMeis, based on the state of the Chai, based on, you know, again, what kind of issues. And that we already know is a big machlokas HaRishonim, Rashi and Tosis regarding, Petur or Isur. And again, some of the question of chai or mace, and pragmatic involvement with kvura, these are different days in the Yerushalmi, whether or not we're going to be mechalik between kriyashma, tvila, tvilin, shar mitzvos, also remains an open issue. But again, in terms of the bigger picture that we're trying to draw, the more we see aninus as something which is very intense, and which is a stira to mitzvos, obviously the more we're going to opt for the idea of hafka and so on. Aninus is just a state in which mitzvos are incompatible. It's a you know, tarta de sasri, to speak about the world of mitzvos in a state of anina shabalev, acharisa, kiyom, kiyomar, is different than, you know, v'chai bahem, and kihem chayenu, and all of these, on all of these issues. Okay. So we saw some of the issues. Basar v'yayin, similarly, to what extent is that a pragmatic halacha of kibura sameis, right? Or again, a reflection of the appropriate state of aninus. Now we know this doesn't apply in avelus, neither of these things. So the peturei mitzvos, with the exception of tefillin on Yom Rishon, because ikri pe'er. The question is, so again, what is the significance of these divisions? Okay. So with regard to mitzvos, I just wanted to highlight it a little bit more before we move on. I'm sorry, before that. With regard to Basar v'Yayin, we had the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam and the story of Rabbeinu Tam and his sister. Yitzi had an interesting suggestion about maybe being mechalik between different mason, but we don't find that in the Rishonim here, but it's something to think about. But that is, you know, it seems from Rabbeinu Tam, certainly the way it's quoted in Balei Tosas and some of the other Makoros as well, that Rabbeinu Tam understood that Basar v'Yayin is a purely pragmatic halacha. And that Lemaisa, anybody who is not involved in the Kvura, you know, doesn't have the limitation of Basar v'Yayin. So, you know, then the question only becomes a technical question, which is an interesting halachic question too, and over, you know, flows a little bit into some formal issues too, and that is when are you excluded from tipol or isuk, you know, bikvura sameis itself. And again, the Balei Tosfos themselves were, you know, nisyayish milikovro, you know, he already handed over, he did his part already, there's not going to be a kvura, and so on. He can't make it even if he, or he can't be involved even if he would want to be. There are other people taking care of it. What determines, what dictates, on that level, osek mikvura sameis? But certainly it seems, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that basar v'yayin can be crossed off the list, and he can be neutralized as a factor in the relationship between aninus and avelus, simply because it is a very pragmatic issue. However, according to the Ra'ah, and according to the Ramban, as we noted, the Ramban, when he wants to distinguish between aninus and avelus, mentions basar v'yayin. The Ra'ah makes it clear that he disagrees with this Rabbeinu Tam, and that, you know, mishabesa mutalafanav applies even if you're not involved in the actual kvura. The Ritva, likewise, as we'll see, the Ritva here, which we're going to get to, you know, before this shiur is over, the Ritva here also links the sugya of Tashmish Amita and the sugya of Basar V'Yayin. So clearly, these Chachmei Sfarad all reject the view of Balei Tosfos that Basar V'Yayin is a purely pragmatic category. So, according to them, what is it? Again, it's something that seemingly establishes Aninus's greater demanding or more intense state than Avelus. It's interesting to note, by the way, the Rambam has an interesting continuation about Avelus when it comes to Yayin and Basar. Namely, Josh, you see it?
With
how does the Rambam formulate the din of you know, Basar Yayin and Aninus and Avelus? You see it? Just a
in the first paragraph.
Parag Dalad, what is it? Halacha
Vav? Wait.
Vav?
I'm not sure what you're
thinking. Right, the Rambam adds. One second. Parag Dalad, yeah? Go ahead, Robbie.
The end of the halacha reads, the Nikra makes a reason, what do the Apple Bus of Bishop say about that? The Bishop's not giving him a mail, but I won't move.
Yeah, so what do you want? What do we want to say with that?
It sounds like you should be indulging yourself even in Avelus.
Yeah, there's the line that separates Aninus and Avelus for the Rambam here, which is interesting, especially for the Rambam, as we'll discuss, because seemingly, again, superficially at least, it's, you know, we already know that, you know, for the Ramban, it seems like the overlap, you know, is the rule. And for the Rambam, it seems like the distinctiveness of each phase, you know, is the rule. So it's just interesting to note that, you know, basically that the Rambam here in the end of Halacha Vav, Nikra Mei, Sarei Zabut Alecho Basar, Belishtos Yayin Ma'at, Kedei Lishros Akilo Shebemeyav, Avalola Ravos. It sounds like, again, we'll talk about it more, but it sounds like in Avelus, the category of Basar V'Yayin, you know, might apply in some respect as well, which also seems to point to the fact that Basar V'Yayin for the Rambam, unlike Rabbeinu Tam, has nothing to do technically with Kfuras Hameis. Nor does it sound as if it does in the Rambam. Right? Misha Meis Amutal Lefanov. This Dalet Bav. Right? Velo Ocha Basar Ve'eno Shose Yayin. Right? Ve'eno Mavarech, Ve'eno Mezamin, Ve'eno Barachin Olav. There's no indication that this has anything to do with Esek B'Kvuras B'Kvuras Hameis. The Ra'ah and others, do they completely disagree with the Rabbeinu Tam? There's something in between these two ideas. That you could say that Basar and Yayin are part of, you know, the gestalt of Aninus, you know, the state of being an Onain makes it inappropriate. And Aninus, Ela Belev, makes Basar and Yayin inappropriate. Certainly the way it sounds like in the Rambam. Right. The other extreme is Rabbeinu Tam, as we said. And that is, it's a din in Ashri Tipul and Esek and Bikbura Sanems. And presumably, it's a din in the distraction of that. In between those two extremes, right, are two other more moderate formulations. One is that Mish Osek B'Tzarche Kvura Sanems, right, it's not so much that he's otherwise going to be distracted, as that that's a dimension of Avel, you know, which makes particularly inappropriate Basar V'Yayin. Either from his point of view, the Chai point of view, or from the Meis point of view. Right? There's always an Avelos, this double, you know, Yakra de Chai, Yakra, you know, de Shichva, kind of a thing. Hard to know. Or, again, in the more moderate perspective, maybe the Hagdara of Misha Mesa Mutal Lefanav, which may also, you know, be translated in, you know, Misha Chayav Be'isuk or Be'kura Sameis, is part of the Hagdara of Aninus. We'll get to that in a second. We'll talk about the Ritva. And therefore, you know, it may seem as if, you know, we're closer to Rabbeinu Tam, but not really. What we're really saying is that the state of Aninus is defined by Misha Meis Amutal Lefanav, or by Misha Chayev Be'esek U'Kvuras Hameis, just that that isn't necessarily defined technically in terms of actually, you know, digging up the earth and actually involved, beginning involved in the physical arrangements. So an interesting issue would be to try to consider whether or not the Hagdara, again, of Osek B'Neis, if that is part of, or Misha Mesum, but Telefonov, to what extent, you know, formally, you know, that is determined by these issues. Now, it's for Rabbeinu Tam, it's, you know, if it's a pragmatic halacha, and it seems clearly that it is, it's clear that actual Osek and Tipul B'Neis, and it should be hard to define. This is what I'm trying to say. Lemaisa, you know, there can be different reasons why he's not involved, and we're not being critical of him at all. We're not passing judgment, but he's not involved in the Esek Kvuras Hameis. Lemaisa, that's the end of the story. But if Esek B'Kvuras Hameis, right, is a state of Aninus, you know, or Hagdara in Aninus, right, then what exactly constitutes that? Is it any moment ad Kvuras Hameis? Does it still require the physical ability to be involved? Does it, you know, actually require any level of involvement? The point I'm trying to make is that it would be a harder process to define what constitutes Esek B'Kvuras Hameis if that were the idea. Yeah.
In the Perush Mishnayot to Brachot, the Rambam says Mutal Lefanav, it's Kodem Shebruhu Afal Kshe'eno Imo B'Makom Echad.
Again, Kodem Shebruhu.
Kodem Shebruhu.
Yeah.
Afal Pi.
I mean, it makes it clear again. Against. Echad. Yeah. Very good. I mean, even though he's not going to be Osik,
and then he contrasts that with someone who a shomer for a mate.
Yeah.
That's someone who's the top.
And then when the shomer, this is the point I think Yitzi also brought up the other day, right? But the you know, the Mishnah has, you know, the people who are Oskim who are not, you know, Krovim. And there too, again, the Pashtus is that they're just, you know, Tirdas Mitzvah and Osik B'Mitzvah. Again, one could in theory suggest, and I think there's some evidence for this, that anybody who's involved in Esek Hameis is like acting like a Karov. And that would also be an interesting question. But the Pashtus, I should just add that that is based on, especially on an interesting idea, which I'm definitely not going to develop right now. Don't let me. But I think it's just important to get it on the record, and you know, to know that it's out there. And that is, what is the relationship between, you know, the Chiyuv Krovim in Kvuras Hameis and Tipul Hameis and the concept of Meis Mitzvah. there's an interesting discussion in the Rishonim. And again, the Pashtus, we all
ish
think.
Ish.
What?
Ish.
Yeah, to be one of the examples. Very good. Excellent. So, the Pashtus, we always think these are two totally different, you know, categories. And that, you know, one is a Kurva, of course, and a Chiyuv, and the other one is, you know, it's kind of a Chiyuv Chesed, you know, B'mokom Sheinish, you know, and so on. But there is some evidence, maybe this is part of a discussion between the Rambam and the Ramban and other things, certain cases, that maybe the way to look at it is the opposite. And that is that, you know, the real default category is, you know, Meis She'en Lo Kovrin. And the idea that, you know, every member of Klal Yisrael is related to and responsible, either B'toras Kurba or B'toras, you know, simply Chiyuv, Klal Yisrael Areidim Zelazer, or V'Hafta L'Racha Kamocha, you know, with Kfuras Ameis. The only thing is, when there are Krovim, right, so that's kind of a P'tur. So this idea that, you know, whoever is actually involved in Kfuras Ameis, instead of just being, you know, Tirdas Mitzvah and Osek B'Mitzvah, you know, and then wondering about this dichotomy in the Mishnah, about the relationship between these two categories in the Mishnah. Is everyone that, or is, you know, you might just turn everything on its head and say, well, but for the people who are actually involved, that goes back to the, you know, everybody's a Meis Mitzvah, because really it's all Klal Yisrael's obligation to begin with, just that, you know, if there's somebody closer, that's a poter. And these are just, okay, two important, you know, perspectives on the bigger issue. Anyways, the Isur Basar V'Yayin is a really interesting issue, and these are some of the issues connected with it. Regarding the Hafka of Mitzvos and the Ptur, so I just wanted to follow that up, just to highlight it again, by discussing very briefly two issues. Right? And that is Havdalah and Tvila. We could discuss other issues too, but these are two I wanted to mention, and I think I did give you the Marco Comos on that, right? Okay. So what's the story, Jonah? What's the story with Havdalah?
So you're talking about the Rosh? Or
yeah, the Rosh in Brachos, right?
So the Rosh says he has his own Shita of Rameir in Nuremberg, I think, where I think Rameir in Nuremberg says, if the Chiyuv of Havdalah is Chal on you, the Shas on Ninos, then you're Pater from Havdalah for good, even if you can make it again.
Would you make it again?
You make it throughout the rest of the week, so hot one day.
Okay.
And then the Rosh says, no, you would actually have to make it when you're chayav again.
Yeah. So this is the question. Whether or not, since Havdalah you can make until the middle of the week, so the question is, if you're an Onain in the beginning of that period, right, what happens afterwards? This is the discussion of the Rosh, and then it gets discussed in Shulchan Aruch, etc. So what is this question? How would you break it down? Let's say, Shlomo, how would you break it down?
About Havdalah?
This question, whether or not Havdalah, whether an Onain Bisman Havdalah, after the Kavura, he's no longer an Onain, right? It's before Tuesday. He could still say, in a normal week, he could say Havdalah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if it was Havka, then he wouldn't have to do it at all, because originally looked up.
So it seems that's one side, and what's the other side?
It's just a p'tur, then once you get...
Okay, so that's one issue. Well, it's a p'tur of God, which is exactly why I wanted to discuss it. But is there a wild card here or not?
Maybe.
Sounds like you want to say it. Get it out.
You know, in between?
No, not so much an in between. I mean, another factor. That's one fact. Shlomo's identifying that this is a great example of the question whether or not Aninos is a kind of a p'tur. No, you're in the Parsha, you're Mechuyev, we just don't let you do it, or you're, again, according to Rashi, you're p'tur, you know, maybe you could do it. I'm not talking about that even. Let's say against Rashi, you're not allowed to do it. But there still could be two ways that you're not allowed to do it. One is you're completely mufka from the Parsha, which is one of the reasons I wanted to discuss this, meaning you're just, you know, it's like for you, it's not Motzai Shabbos, or whatever, there's no Chiyuv Havdalah at all. Or there's a clash between your Chiyuv Havdalah and the overriding, the dechuya, let's say, here, is that you're not allowed to do it. Okay? So that's what, so you're saying, if you're mechuyev, but, so then the first opportunity that you can do it, you should do it. If on the other hand, if it's an implementation problem, let's call it, but if it's a kind of a hutra or a hafka, that you're not bechlal, so then, you're not bechlal. That's what you're saying, and that's 100% correct. But there is another a bit of a wild card here, and another factor is what I'm saying. What's the other factor? A little bit. No, not so much.
Could it be the expanded Zman of Havdalah?
Yeah, the expanded Zman of Havdalah. How do we look at this idea that you're allowed to make Havdalah until the middle of the week? Right. So just let's say in broad terms, again, there could be two models. Right. One model is, there's a Dinan's reason Magdim in the Mitzvos, which is why, and particularly Gartig Havdalah, you know, the Rambam says it's, you know, Rambam puts Kiddush in Havdalah. We discussed this last year, actually, right? Towards the end of our Monday shiur. Right, Kiddush and Havdalah are one kiyum in a way, according to the Rambam. You know, the demarcations of the framework, if you will, of Shabbat. That's a very important idea. Anyways, the idea of making Havdalah, early, and you know, the Isser Malacha and Isser Ti'ima, those kind of things. Belvel has a famous piece also in his chibur about that. Is that just because of Chiv Mitzvah, or is it more than that? Meaning, there's reason Makdim in the Mitzvos of doing Havdalah Motzoi Shabbos, number one. In addition to that, maybe even more than that. Maybe it's part of, again, there's Kiddush and Havdalah, the bookmark. So it's that whole, marking the beginning, marking the end. You accentuate Kiddush Shabbos by extending it, but also by knowing when not to blur it. Yeah, also, right? And you need to acknowledge the beginning of Shabbos, and that adds Kiddush to Shabbos, and you also need to not terminate Shabbos, but at least acknowledge the termination of Shabbos. We'll say it that way. You know, you initiate Shabbos by Kiddush in some respect. Don't terminate it by Havdalah, but it's important to actually acknowledge the termination of Shabbos. It's an investment in the framework, in the whole inside of Shabbos. Anyway, though there are different reasons why, obviously, there's a certain urgency of Motzai Shabbos beyond the regular din klali of Zrizin Makdimin, mitzvah bali yadcha, those things. There might be added elements, especially according to the Rambam, of why Havdalah would be earlier. However, since the Gemara does say that you can extend it, so what you might say is, well, as early as you can do it, you should do it. And the tkufa of saying Havdalah is till Tuesday. And if you were to say that, then even if you were to say that basically Onain is a hafka, you still might say, well, very nice, but the tkufas hazman of the avdachiyu, is still applying and there's no hafka now. So that would get you into a different issue, and that would be like once mufka during the period, always mufka in the period. Is it mechadesh, b'chol yom tamid every second? Is it the first minute that's koveya? Get into those kind of questions, which are also very legitimate, questions. On the other hand, the other model, which puts the burden in the other direction, is to say, really, there's a din, in not the first minute of Motzai Shabbos. Motzai Shabbos, at night, that's the Zman of Havdalah. Right? And then there's a kind of a Tashlumin, till Tuesday. But there are two tiers. There's a Moed Bet, is like they like to say in Eretz Israel, right? There's Tashlumin. So I know we know this phenomenon from the world of, Korban Chagiga, from the world of Tfilas Tashlumin. Mm-hmm. And in each case, in Tashlumin, you have to investigate it too, exactly what it is. But when we use the terminology Tashlumin, what we're really trying to say is not that the whole period is one unit equal, basically, with the exception of a kind of Zrizin, but that there is, a proper time, this is Zman, right? And then there's a Tashlumin for the Zman. And then we know that, or we understand, Pesach Sheni, the Gemara has this discussion, I say Tefilas Tashlumin, and Tefilas Tashlumin, Chagiga as Tashlumin. So generally the principle is that if you're not Chayiv, in the original Zman, then if you're Mufka then you shouldn't be chayv at Tashlumin either. But if the original Zman, is an extended period, so any time you hit that extended period, you should be mechuyv. Unless, again, there's a din, particularly in Tchila. But if there's a din to be mechadesh kol rega, for sure this is the case. If there's a din, dafka, rega, starting from rega rishon, then, you're not going to have this. And if it's something in between, you probably also are going to be mechuyv, as long as the time period is the initial extended time period. But if we're dealing with Tashlumin, so the idea that Tashlumin depends on your status in the original Zman, the real Zman, you know, makes a lot of sense. So what are we speaking about when it comes to Havdalah? So it could be this debate between this debate in 2 days in the Rush and in the Poskim. It's hard to know, but put it this way, in order to explain the Shita, right, that you are Patur for Havdalah, you know, even in the extended period, it would be best to say that A, there's a Hafkah, Aninus is a Hafkah, Gemura, not just either a Ptur or even an Iser, but, you know, a kind of a Dechuya, etc. That's number one. And number two is that the extension isn't part of the original Zman Chiyuv, it's a Tashlumin. And since you're Patur from the Makor, you're Patur mitashlumin. Again, I just add, unless you want to say that part of the extended integrated Chiyuv is that it also has to flow, it can't be interrupted at any point, it has to flow from the first moment, or it can never be interrupted in the middle. That would be another mod. If you take the view that you do have to say Havdalah, right, after the Aninus, so it's hard to figure out which of these two dinim you're arguing with. Are you saying that Aninus, right, is never a Hafka Gemura, right, or are you saying that it was, but, you know, this isn't Tashlumin, this is an extended period, and it doesn't require the total period, you know, like Onus B'Yomachron, right? Sometimes the total period is required, and sometimes it's something in the period. That's Rav Chaim Tzaharim, Onus B'Yomachron. Everybody remember? Fondly, I hope. Oops, did I give away something from Athena?
I'm sure still hasn't taken it
to me. I'm saying, right, over Bismano Batal Carbono. But, but that's also a Tashlumin issue. Right. So, anyways, yeah, by the way, Bechina, it's not Tashlumin. Well, I guess it is because we have an incentive. Yeah, it's Tashlumin. It's, yeah, no, on the contrary. It's Tashlumin, but even that runs out.
Maybe
we
should have another level.
Maybe we shouldn't. Okay, anyways. But we understand the point. Okay, so that's the debate with regard to Havdalah, and it's a fascinating debate. If you see this debate being quoted, right, in context of other issues connected with the Zman of Havdalah till Tuesday, and there are other issues, then you know that part of the story is that. If you see it being quoted, you know, for to explain or to explore the scope of Ptur Aninus, right, then likely that's what this is all about. So interestingly enough, that's the debate. How do they pass in the Shulchan Aruch? Who was I asking for? Shlomo?
Yeah.
Okay, Shlomo?
In Shulchan Aruch.
So in Hilchot.
Originally they passed in like the Rush.
Yeah.
But then he quotes it there at the end, that would seem to indicate that he would have to make it again.
That you would have to make it.
Great. Yeah.
And
correct. The Aruch Shikvar Mace from the Maharam Mordechai. And yeah. Beis, right?
So yeah. So Shin Mem Aleph Beis, Misha Mace Lomace Beshabbos. We'll get that in a second. Imlo Ovar Zman. We'll get that in a second. Lo Yispalel Shekvar Ovar Zman. Right? Velo Dami Lishacha Fel Yispal Arvis Shemispal Shacha Shtaim Kivin Shebelay Lohay Chayv Liyispalel. Period. Ulinin Havdalah Yavdil Achar Sheikvar Ames. And he quotes the Maram Rutenberg and Mordechai and Hagos Mamudis are quoting Ram Rutenberg as the Rosh is quoting Ram Rutenberg, right? Okay, good. So what's fascinating is these are the 2 days of the Rosh, and it's very interesting, right? And then the Shulchan Aruch is saying, we paskin that you are Chayv B'Havdalah. Oh. But the Shulchan Aruch is also dealing with a different issue. What's a different issue? Regarding Shlomo?
Tashlumin
of Tvila.
Right.
So the Shulchan Aruch here says that lo yispalel, okay, that's, we understand, v'lo baboker kodim kvura, l'achar kvura yispalel tvir shacharis imlo avar zmana. Avo tvila sa'erev lo yispalel shekvar avar zmana v'lo dami right l'shachach v'lo yispalel avashim yispalel shacharis shtayim kivin shubalai lo yachayiv l'yispalel. So what does that mean? He basically is saying what?
So because he sort of missed the chance during the night, he didn't have down Mars.
I mean, there's no Gemara about this. The Gemara doesn't say anything about Tefilas Tashlumin, right, as we know, just like it doesn't say anything about Havdalah. But this is the question the Shulchan Aruch is dealing with. So if we're to talk about Shachris for a moment, if the Kvura takes place in the morning and you finish the Kvura and it's still Zman Shachris, that seems like a Davar Pashut. That's not Tashlumin, that's just Toch HaZman. And with regard to Shachris, Lo Matzinu, that you have to be necessarily Chayiv from the first moment, right? No one says that either you have to be Chayiv from the first moment or you have to be Chayiv the total period, right? As far as we know, there's no such din. So the you're part of the Zman Achiyuv. So that seems like a no-brainer, unless you were to want to say one of those two other things, which no reason to say. The question is, what about last night's Tfilas Arvis, to say now, Bizman Shacharis, the next day, Betoras Tfilas Tashlumin? Because we know that there is a concept of Tfilas Tashlumin. So basically, the Shulchan Aruch says that Onain, right, unlike Shachach or one of these other cases, doesn't have a din of Tashlumin. Right, the assumption is that Onain is kind of Mufka, right? That seems to be the impression. Oh. So then what emerges is that there's a difference between Havdalah and Tashlumin. So if you take the view, and again, the Aninus part is common to both. If the question is whether Aninus is a Havka Lugamri, or it's just a inability to implement, right? But really, we're dealing with comparable, you know, extended periods. In other words, the Tashlumin of Tefillah and the Ad Yom Gimel of Havdalah were the same, then you should get the same psak. And for some Rishonim and Poskim, you might get the same psak, right, in either direction. But the Shulchan Aruch, which is distinguishing between Tefillah, Tashlumin, and Havdalah, the easiest way to explain it would be to explain that this is the difference. One is Tashlumin, one is the extended initial Chiyuv. Basically, Havdalah is like Zman Shacharis La'achar Kavura. Yeah.
Didn't we differentiate Tashlumin anyway? Because
Tashlumin from what?
For Tefillah. Because
maybe.
Why do we have it anyway? It's Rachamim. But over here, normally you're given another opportunity to daven.
Okay.
But over here, the Mitzvah is going to be like, you know, the reason I didn't daven was because of you. And he's going to say that Hashem, like, if you're coming to me now to tell me I have a chiyuv of Tashlumin, which is Rachamim.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's because of the Ribono Shel Olam. I mean, people who are in a state of, unfortunately, I've experienced this, but, you know, when you can't, it's a very difficult thing, you know, to be an Onain. Maybe that's part of the challenge of being an Onain, or maybe it's a byproduct. It's hard to know. I mean, this idea of, you know, not being, you really feel, well, first of all, you feel extremely weird, you know, and again, it's hard to know whether this is part of the plan. You know, no brachos, no tefillah. It's a strange feeling. Right? So it's not a question of, you know, having excuse or not having excuse. It's more a question of how mufka really are you from this state. Now, it is true that, you know, we, the Rishonim in particular, say, that isn't explicit either, that tefillas tashlumin is example, is there tefillas tashlumin for musaf. Right? So we usually say that tefillas tashlumin is limited to the tefillos of Rachmi, at least the Bali Tosas say that. But I don't think it's a question of, you know, saying to the Rebbe, well, it's not my fault, it's your fault. It's nobody's fault, and it's, you really actually feel you want to do it. You feel badly that you can't. At the time, for sure, because it's just the shigra of your spiritual life, and especially at a time, you know, you can't and you want to. Like, that's part of the, maybe it's, you know, intention. I assume it's intentional. But I don't think that that's so much the factor. Either way, this is what emerges from the Shulchan Aruch, but it's not so simple. It's not so simple at all. I thought you were going to say something else, and that is, in addition to the distinction between Tashlumin in Tefillah and the middle of the week for Havdalah, in light of what I was saying about the Sugya and the Mishnah and the language in Brachos, maybe one could have raised another question, and that is, maybe Kriyat Shema, Tefillah, Tefillin, you know, maybe that's one kind of an issue. and you know, things like Havdalah. Shar Kol Mitzvah Satorah is a different kind of an issue. How mufka are you? Right, just as we saw, you know, with regard to the some of the, you know, Yerushalmi psukim that Tosis is quoting. It's like, even the Yerushalmi seems to be, you know, quoting all sorts of different pturim for the different things. So I think that also, in addition to the, you know, how you look at the extended time frame of Tefillah versus how you look at the extended time frame of Havdalah, maybe another issue is maybe a more mufka, you know, from Amida Lifnei Hashem Tefillah. And maybe this touches a little bit what you were saying, but I don't, maybe because of Rashi, maybe. Then you are for Havdalah. I think that's another interesting issue. Either way, what emerges here is something quite interesting. The Rishonim are not so, the Poskim are not so clear about all this. So the Taz in Sif Katan Hay, Shlomo, you saw it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
In the beginning? Or?
Yeah. Why not, just quickly. Kasa Bedrisha, right?
Kasa Bedrisha, Mikara and Nira Dehuad in this Asif Tzavit Sibor Kirzibo. This man at Tfila Shepatra Mila Hikal of Moshe Kasa Bedrisha Sibin Tzavigim Mitocha Isa Avers Man Osa Tfila Shikam Kenin Tzark Lashvim Viz Man Tfila
Chakra
Chakra Lepal Shnayim Echad Vatashim Kim Shikam Kenin Viz Man Isa Kaya Patra Mit Tfila Mo Gavelis Dehacha Mali Onis Dehavilis O Isa Mitzvah.
Yeah, so of course, what's the key line there? The one that provokes, you know, counter reaction. The Kamoba Velus, of course, and especially the Mali. I mean, anytime you ever see, you know, a Mali, you know, your antennae have to go up, right? You have to be, you know, what do you mean Mali? When somebody says Mali, like, what's the difference? You know, so you really want to, the rebel in you always wants to respond, what? Shiny v'shiny, you know. What are you talking about? They're totally different. So basically, the Drisha was equating what? Onest Avelus. First of all, he calls it Onest Avelus, which is interesting. But anyways, Onest Avelus as opposed to Aninus. It's really Aninus, right? Avelus, there is no Ptur. You know, does this reflect, this loose language, you know, reflect a little bit on our bigger issue about, you know, whether there are two stages and what the relationships of the two stages are? I would have just, you know, just been a little more careful. I'm not criticizing the Drisha. I'm just saying it's something to note. Maybe it's intentional. But either way, Mali Ones Tavelos O Esek Mitzvah. First of all, the Esek Mitzvah here, by the way, is also fascinating. What Esek Mitzvah are we talking about? Misasek Mitzorche Tzibor. We're not even talking about the typical Osek B'mitzvah to Patur B'mitzvah. That in itself is quite interesting. This is a little bit of an inspiring point, right? That, you know, Osek Mitzorche Tzibor has a broader definition of Osek B'mitzvah. Anyways, the Prisha, the Drisha or Prisha, is basically saying that Esek B'mitzvah or Esek B'torchet Tzibor equals Esek B'mitzvah equals the Ptur, what does he call it? Onus Davelus. But we know, you know, that isn't such a, because we've analyzed it just a little bit, we've tried to break down the components. We know that isn't so simple, right? Why is it not so so simple? Shai? Is it so simple? What?
Nothing's ever simple.
Nothing's ever simple here. And but, you know, why? Because we're troublemakers or because it really isn't? Okay, you don't have to answer.
But the combination.
Maybe. So the point, but when somebody says Mali, basically he's saying Mali Mali, right, you know. And you want to say shiny for shiny.
Oh.
Meaning, who says that Osek, even if you grant that Osek Betzorche Tzibur equals Osek B'mitzvah, which is, you know, not 1,000% clear, and even if you want to say Osek Betzorche Tzibur is Patur Min HaMitzvah, maybe it's Patur Min HaMitzvah a little bit differently than Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah when you're actually doing a formal mitzvah. But either way, the question has to be raised in both of these. Now, there's in the Shulchan Aruch, what was highlighted was a difference, probably, not between, as I was suggesting, Tefillah and Havdalah, but between the extended Zmanim of Tashlumin and, you know, the extended Zmanim of Havdalah. Okay. But what's being focused on in the Drisha and Prisha is the degree of Ptur and Hafka in Osek B'Tzorchei Tzibur, Osek B'Mitzvah, and Onein. If you think that Onein, right, is just, you know, the fact that Lamaisa is Patur, then fine. But if you think that in order for this din, you know, to work, one needs to be mufka legamri, you know, keim chayenu, or even something less than that, but still a hafga, not just a inability to do, but not just a dechuya, but a kind of a hutra. So then you might say shiny v'shiny. Maybe so. There's a dub. There are two things that are we saying that the mali mali is based on a downgrading of aninus and avelus, the ptur, meaning it's nothing more than osik mitzvah patrim and a mitzvah? Or are we saying that it's no? We recognize that aninus and avelus is a hafga. You know, what we're really saying is that osik mitzvah and even osik mitzorchei tzibor, you know, gets upgraded. That's mufka legamri too. That's a big debate in osik mitzvah. Okay. But either way, that's what's going on a little bit here. Okay, so let's continue just for a minute. Uladati. Ovad avodas Hashem yizbarach ad kan l'shona. So on the contrary, right? The drisha is going a step further, right? And an interesting formulation too, right? Osik b'mitzvah, that's mufka legamri. You know, onein, you know, or p'tur ones da'avel, maybe that's why he calls it p'tur ones da'avel, he's not looking at it as onein, kihem chayenu, that kind of a thing. That's more of a clash, a pragmatic thing, you can't do two things at the same time. But being osik b'avodas Hashem, right, you're not even mechuyev, you're mufka legamri. Interesting. Yeah?
I thought that what he was trying to say there was that you are really kind of tefillah, but something very like spectacular about Sochei Tzibor, that Sochei Tzibor is a kind of kiyum, not actually tefillah. Right?
Well, I don't know if it's a kiyum and tefillah.
Because that is made of a lot of Hashem Yisbarach.
Uh-huh. I like the idea. I don't believe it here, but meaning because it's Avodah B'Lev and this is Avodah too. I think it's clever, but I don't. If you ask me, do I really, really believe it?
Why does he use like the phrase like
right. I think he's trying to say that they're both osek, like the ritva in Sukkah, which I'm going to mention in a few minutes too, which is that, you know, osek b'mitzvah, you know, makes everything else into a mitzvah reshus. That's the line that the ritva has in Sukkah. Because you're oved b'avodas Hashem. I hear what you're saying. I think in theory it's an interesting idea. I like it. But if you ask me, do I believe really that that's what the Prisha Drisha is saying, I'm a little skeptical. But I think he's saying something a little bit more, a little broader. Because so you would really say you'd be b'chalik between Tefillah and some other piyut? You
saying,
might.
He's just saying that, right, that's also the source of it, right, that's the source of his bullshit.
Right, I hear. It's an internal thing. I don't think it's an internal. I hear it and I say I like it. I just don't believe that's what he's saying, to be honest. So I just think he's really saying it more in power, meaning the hafka is greater here because in the case of what's also interesting, he doesn't consider aninus to be obey b'avodas Hashem, meaning he sees aninus as something like you're paralyzed or it's an incovered mace, but you know, you're not to take Yitzi's formulation before, like, you know, about the rach, and he'd say, oh, I was working for the Rabbanu Shel Olam before. Not really, I mean, you know, you're working to overcome for yourself, or you're maybe not in a state where you can do these things properly, or maybe it's been incovered a mace. But here you're over Avodas Hashem, so you're mufka legamri. I like Shua's idea. I just don't believe that he's saying. Again, the nafkamina would it be a difference between tefillah and, you know, some other thing, right? Kriya Shema, you know, some other tefillin where it's not, you know, Avodah Shebelein. Okay. But I like it. Okay, the Teimani. Go ahead. Now comes the Taz.
The
yeah. Meaning, this is, he himself called it ones, the avelus, again, not baninus. So if it's ones, that should come under the rubric of chiv tashlumin. Meaning, ones isn't the hafka. He's saying none of these are hafkas. Right? The su.
So the cause of the
Torah, no. What's it called? Torah Sa'adam, maybe? No. The name is eluding me, but it's not Torah Sa'adam. But we'll come back to it. Go ahead. Yeah. Etzel ha'apakid.
Oh, apakid.
Right, this is like you shouldn't be mafarsim this too much, but right. The guy, you know, he's at he's on his job, and you know, there's going to be hefsed mammon, or he's going to lose his job. You know, if he runs, if he davens, forget about the minion. We're talking about if he davens on time, right? B'toch kach, over zman atzvila. Tur machmas tirda the mitzvah, meaning there's a fundamental argument going on here, right, about how to classify, again, avad avodas Hashem. That's exactly what the Prisha or was saying. The Kol Shekeni was saying it isn't ptur anus, right? It's osik b'mitzvah and then some, right? Shua is saying it's the same mitzvah. Okay, I'm saying it's, you know, Ovid b'avodas Hashem, so he's mufkat, he's already covered. And the Taz is saying, I don't understand, this is onus. And he's comparing it to, you know, you're going to get fired by your boss. No one says, that's avodas Hashem, that's onus, this is onus. So the osik mitzvah is also onus. Vim Kain. Okay, now comes the Mali Mali, it's not just me, right? So even though Shai sounded a little skeptical, you know, but okay. There's no Mali Mali. Okay. Comma.
Right. Masha Inkin imaptur machmas tirda, intakariptur mitzalat no ela omis. The Habe Emes, inepshalo is followed the Zen in raptur lo omis. She inlo pnai, tavakamokola, shen yoko is followed. Valzet, valzet, tiknu tashlum, mitiptur machmas omis. Even she eapshar lo kane, nearly bar.
She eapshalo, kane, nearly bar. Okay. So basically, the Taz, what do you make of that, Shlomo, that whole distinction there?
Okay, so he's talking between the Ptor and Onis. I mean, by Avelis, it's a Ptor, maybe it's Hafka.
Right.
But
it's interesting the way that he's formulating Hafka, too. But it's, you know, it's initially counterintuitive, but then when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. I think. Okay. What do I mean by that? Avi? Or do you like the first part, that it's problematic?
Formulated as Tor, based on how we generally from a college God, Tor, it would sound not on the right side of Soa.
Right, because normally what we say is that, you know, Afka means that you're completely, you know, out of it. And what he's emphasizing here is, you know, and you don't have any choice, so you're Mufka Lagamri. That's what you usually think. But if you could do it, but there's some extraneous thing that's impeding you, right, so an extraneous impediment is usually more consistent with a ptur, you know, or a dechuya, than it is with a hafga gemura. He's saying here an anus or a chole, you just have no choice. Here you have a choice. You could do it physically. You could do it, just that, you know, something else, some other factor, is taking priority and impeding. Right, so if I woke you up in the middle of the night and I said to you, you know, what's consistent with a hutra, what's consistent with a dechuya, what's consistent with a ptur, what's consistent with a greater hafka? So usually we think that the more you're unable, the more you're mufka. And, you know, when it's a question of choices, you know, and making priorities, you know, that's a ptur. That's what the Taz is saying here, but he's saying it for the opposite end. What he's trying to say is, if you're sick, or if you're going to get fired by your boss, by the way, he's not disagreeing with that talk, right? Or if you're osek b'mitzvah b'tzorchei tzibur, and even if it's only tzorchei tzibur, I don't only tzorchei tzibur, if it's tzorchei tzibur, and if it's osek b'mitzvah, in all these cases, you don't have a choice, and therefore, there is going to be a chiyuv tashlumin. It's not a hafka. But in the case of Abel, you could do it. Right? We just don't let you do it. But the answer is, okay. I mean, we understand it too. What we're saying is, in one case, it's a pragmatic thing. You're not mufka, just it's a practical problem. You just can't do both of these things, and one takes priority. In the other, the halacha is really determining you could do this physically. So by virtue of the fact that the halacha, that you could, but the halacha says you shouldn't, That's a hafkah. Shmuel, right? That's what you want to say, right? Am I putting words in your mouth? That's what you're saying. Good. Okay. So that is just an interesting argument about you know, basically what he's saying is, don't, you know, you have reduced ones to a, I'm sorry, you've reduced, you know, a velus, not even, that's why he's not calling it a ninus in a way, to a pteronis, and therefore you're equating all these things, but you really shouldn't do that, because a velus, or a ninus, is a hafka. Yeah.
My impression when we watched him at the time was that when he said he calls only something that's internal an onis, yeah, and that's external is just a tor and not an onis.
Say that again.
When he made it sound like
he said, I thought he's saying the other way. What's that? Bahad lama din zeven avelus ino din dover l'raya nafkem aptur b'machlas dover acher ainu shehu atzmo yachal yispalel b'lishu mediyah elish avelus potroso
potroso
b'zein tashlumin.
Right.
The avelus is, meaning the avelus is mafkia.
So
Masha ain't kenim up tour machmas tirda ain't a kari ptur mitzad atzmo alonis. The MSCF shalom is follow. Zendik or ptur alonis.
No, so the zeh, so we're discussing this. There are a lot of zehs here. When he says
there are a lot of
zehs, that would be directly associated with what he just said. Ptur mitzad atzmo alonis.
Like in tefillah, I'm sorry, like in osek and all these things,
right, right.
Or illness or losing your job, ain't zakari ptur mitzad atzmo.
Onis.
Ella onis. That's a practical onus thing. The MSCF shall only spot. He just like he can't do it.
Right.
No. The zenikra ptur below.
That would be just a stira. It has to be the
onis. She'ain lo. 1 second. Pnai. Have a kamochol. Yeah, I think it's one little problem here. Either way, it's his problem. Have a kamochol. Shein yachol yispalel. These are all referring to not avelus. You're right. It's messed up a little bit. One. Kin shefshalo. Kain. Shefshalo. Sorry. Kain yoli bar. You're right. You're making a hara that in one line he gets off. He zes himself a little bit too much and he gets a little confused in the writing. No, he should have done some good editing. But what he's saying in general is clear.
No, so I thought maybe he was saying when he did a tashlumin that what we need in order to be kind of tashlumin is a complete capability of davening, and therefore you get this matana, like the opportunity to perform tashlumin.
I don't know, so matana, I just think it's a, it means that you're mechuyev, but there's no hafka, and therefore you're mechuyev, and when you're mechuyev and you just can't implement, that's a din of tashlumin. Like every other din of tashlumin, like chagiga, like, and so on, meaning you have to be mechuyev bizman ha. I think what he's saying is in the case of you could do this, the fact that you don't do it even though you could do it shows you that you're mufka. That's the davar. I mean, the abelus is the koveya, not the inability to do that. In the case of the osik b'mitzvah, the osik b'tzarchei tzibor, the taz, not the others, the osik b'tzarchei tzibor, the losing of your job, right? You're not, it's the inability to do it, not the stature of what you're doing. But in the case of avelus, it's the stature of what you're doing or involved in. That's what he's saying.
I thought in combination with Rebbe's Bahara that he's kind of flipping it around.
He is flipping it. I don't think you can get away from that. That's you're correct about that. There's something, one of the zez is just a little too much. Now the shach in the Kudus HaKasef brings it back in the other direction a little bit. Right? Tema ladrisha, says the shach in the Kudus HaKasef. Right? Below kasha midi. Right, he says the Taz question doesn't bother him. The dafka ba'ones shekayv min adin. Ela mishum da'ones hu patur dinahacha. Ava kishelo haya chayv min adin klal patur achakach. Behilkach be'esek b'tzarchei tzibor kibnei lechayv klal min adin mishum da'osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah. Basically what he's saying is, I accept, unless I'm reading it wrong, the Shach says, I accept the Taz's chiluk, that there are hafkos and there are, you know, onsim. What I don't accept is his analysis that osek b'mitzvah, or even osek b'tzarchei tzibur, right, that they constitute ones and not hafkah. That's wrong. Osek mitzvah is also hafkah. And Oseg B'Tarchei Tzibur is a Hafka. And what do we say about losing his job? Presumably, that's not a Hafka. Right? So he's saying you're right about Onain being a Hafka. You're wrong that Oseg B'Mitzvah and Oseg B'Tarchei Tzibur are just an Ones. Another little wrinkle is the comment of the Dagul Nirbava, because we noted before, you know, maybe there's a special din, either in terms of being Kobeya Hafka'a, or in terms of the Chiyuv itself, you know, maybe the Tchila Zmana Chiyuv is Kobeya. Right? That's a Ha'ara of the Dagul Nirbava. Dagul Nirbava is the Nor Bihuda, right? His comments on Shulchan Aruch. Kiven Shebalayla, Nira Dafka Bazeh Shemes B'Shabes, what the Nor Buda says is, maybe there's a difference between somebody who came into, right, Arvis, you know, in a state of Aninus, so he was Mufka Legamri, right, and therefore there's no Tashlodin. But if he was Mechuyev, Sha'achas, so even if then he was Mufka, that's an interesting question, not obvious in one, in either direction, right? But another issue, again, I said it a little bit differently before about, you know, Tchila, so there being any kind of Hefsek, you know, if you need the totality of the period. You know, these are other ways, these are other issues. But the Nor Bihuda is saying, if you were Mechuyev Sha'achas, then even if you're, you know, even if the degree of your p'tur is a Hafka p'tur, not just a, you know, not just an Ones p'tur, right, there's still a Tashlumin, based on the Tchila, having been Mechuyev. It's not that, oh, once you're Mufka, you're Mufka. In a way, that's, again, the flip opposite of what we were talking about before, about, you know, everything being dependent on the first second, or everything dependent on the totality of being fully mechuyev in the totality of the period. He's saying, as long as you're mechuyev in any part of the period, you know, that would be sufficient, even if it was the beginning, you know, and you're already mufka legamri after that. These are all open questions, all interesting open questions. Okay, getting back to our, I don't want to get more involved in this. The reason I wanted to do this is, A, just to show that this the discussion of the of Rashi and Tosas and then the Yerushalmi and the different Yerushalmis even that are quoted by Tosas about the Ptur Mitzvah Saninus, right, and the question of to what extent it's really, you know, more of a pragmatic Ones kind of an issue, or a Hafka, and what level of Hafka, and whether it's kind of, you know, merged into, you know, a Velus too, or it's specifically did an Anino, especially whatever. This is a major debate among the Rishonim, with important nafkamina lahalacha, right, Havdalah, Tashlumin, other things, and interesting discussions about the relationship between Ones and Osik Mitzvah and Chole and you know, Hefs and Mamon, as well as, you know, Aninus and Avelus. Okay. So once again, in terms of the kachim parts, we've discussed it. In terms of basar v'yayin, we've discussed it. In terms of p'tur mitzvos, which is a much more complicated issue, once again, there are differences, a range of different explanations as to what's going on and why there is a p'tur mitzvah. And again, the distinction between aninus and avelus regarding all these three is something which requires our attention. So again, on the kachim side, there is a din of shiluach karbanos kol shiva. Is that just like a, you know, a less intense, you know, continuation? Maybe, or maybe it's totally different. With regard to basar v'yayin, you have that line in the Rambam, right, about the continuation in avelus. With regard to p'tur mitzvos, you have the question of tefillin, pe'ercha, chavash alecha. Is that totally separate or not? And you have again this, you know, these formulations in some of the poskim, where whether they don't, you know, they're not careful to call it aninus as opposed to avelus, and that's interesting as well. What about nihuge avelus? So as far as that is concerned, right, that is the big machlokas harishon. We know that you know, the Rambam takes a very strict view. What's the Rambam's strict view, Chaim?
In terms of what?
A strict view of Nihugei Avelos regarding Bizman Aninos. I'm moving beyond. In other words, we discussed Basav Yayin, we discussed Kachim and Avoda, now we've discussed Ptur Mitzvos, right? What about the general Nihugei Avelos? So what's the Rambam's view? Bizman Aninos. Yes or no?
None.
Seems like none.
Right.
The Rambam takes a very strict view, and that is Aninus l'chud, Avelus l'chud. Right? This is Perek Aleph, Hilchos Avel Halacha, Aleph and Beis. Right? You have it, Yosef?
Yeah.
What? I didn't say anything about being a Chumra or a Kula. A Chumra in what?
Be strict constructivist.
I'm just trying to figure out what applies to each at the moment. You mean asking me, is it a chumra and anina? It seems like a kula and aninas. Pashtus, right? Well, we'll see. And as I was discussing the discrepancy regarding avoda and karbonos, I was discussing the discrepancy regarding basav yayin, discussing the discrepancy regarding ptur, you know, kriyashma tefila, tefillin, vishar mitzvos, and I want to know, what about nihugei avelus? But you're 100% correct that this is in the other direction.
It's misinterpreted, Rabbi's
question. Oh, okay, 100%. So let's get you back. So, meaning the Rambam's view is? Nekel and Aninus and Machmir seemingly in Avelus. But about driving a clear distinction between the two. And that's, we're interested in, you're 100% correct, what you're saying. I mean, we're interested in direction, but we're also interested in the question of how independent are these stages. So they can be independent, but sometimes in opposite ways, and that's what you're pointing out. Right? Okay. So that's the Rambam here in Perek. Do you have it? You want to read it?
It's on the board.
Basically, halacha base, right? Aleph base.
Yeah.
Okay, meaning how could David HaMelech be sach, right, when Unus Kodim Kibura, sach sicha is one of the Nihugei Avelus, which are prohibited, right? The Isra sicha is one of the Nihugei Avelus, we'll put it that way, more accurate. So the answer is, because he did it Bizman Aninus, or not Bizman Avelus, right? And this is what the Rambam said. When the Rambam says here, so if you want the list, where do you have to go? Aminadab? Where do you go? Where's the list? Perek? No. Tebregdal halachava, we did. That's a list of Aninua. That's where he talks about Aninuas. Right? What is it? Perkei Halacha Aleph? Perkei Halacha Aleph. Rambam says, Elu Dvarim Sha'avel Asur Bahem. Right? When he says, the list, so he should have put, there should be like a little parenthesis that says, Perkei Halacha Aleph. Okay. So, Elu Dvarim Sha'avel Asur Bahem. V'yom Arisho Min HaTorah. V'shar Shiva Simei Ha'Evel Midivrayim. And what are they? Osor Lusaper. What does Lusaper mean? Yeah? Haircut, right? Okay. Lechabes, right? Kibbutz. Lirchotz, Lasuch. That's why he was making reference to David HaMelech and Lasuch, right? Sicha. Lishamesh Mitaso. Lino Lasasando. Lasos Malacha. Likros Bedivrei Torah. Liskov Esamita. Lifroas Arosh, Lishol Shalom, Hakol Achadasar Davar. Then the Ram goes on, Aminayin Sha'avel Asur B'Tesporas, and he goes on to bring the Mekoros for each of these 11 Nihugei Avelos. So the 11 Nihugei Avelos count that are listed in Parakei Halacha Aleph, all of them presumably are, right, are going to begin only after the Kvura and do not apply to Oni. So for example, according to the Rambam, again, it's clear from the Gemara that Atifas HaRosh, as we discussed, Nilas HaSandol, right, Kvias HaMita, the Rambam says, yeah, tip of the iceberg, right, they represent the whole category, David HaMelech's story with the Sicha, correct? Aye, what about Tashmish HaMita for the Rambam? So that would seem to be confirmed by our sugya. Because our sugya seems to say that we don't have any problem with Tashma Shamita Bisman, right, Shehu Onein, just Bisman Shehu Avel. So if the answer to, which we'll expand on in just a second, the answer to our dilemma, to Tosis's question, right, why does it seem like we're more Makel in Aninus, which seems to be more Doraisa than in Avelos? Yeah, it's just because regarding this particular Niyug, it's the opposite. This is just consistent with the breakdown of Aninus and Avelos. There does seem to be, with regard to Tashmish Amita in particular, some complication. What's the complication?
Brachot.
Yeah.
You
see?
We don't wait for them to be Torish until, you know, they've reached Avel.
Okay, so that's number one. That's a good question. We'll get back to that. Okay, so you're saying, well, okay, but at least we've answered part of the problem. You're saying, well, there's still some things to explain here. Because why are we even Porish? Or you might ask it even more sharply, maybe, and that is, why is it only Dafka Aviv Shalchasan and Ima Shalkala? Let's say it was Aviv Shalkala and Ima Shalchasan. If there's no Easter Tashma Shamita, so what's the problem, right? That's a similar, that's kind of a variation on your question. Okay, so that's something we do have to deal with for the Rambam. But just because we haven't dealt with all the problems doesn't mean that we haven't satisfactorily explained one big one, right? So let's hold off on that for a moment. That is what I meant. What I did mean was there's a complication for the Rambam to deal with regard to Tashma Shamita, not so much, what is our Gemara, the questions that you asked, 100%, and that I asked, your question and my question. What's the other problem, Gabi? Gabi? What's the other Gemara that's a problem? Chaim? Avram? Back here? The Gemara Brachos. What does the Gemara say, Brachos? It sounds like the Gemara says that there's a debate, right, whether or not on Shabbos there's going to be a heter Tashmi Shamita, right, Le'onein. And it sounds like, but if we weren't talking about Shabbos, everybody would think it's Osir, and even on Shabbos is a debate. So it's, and there we're talking about Misha Mesa Mutalafana, we're talking about Onein, we're not talking about Avel. So that seems to be a serious problem. What do we do with that problem? What, is there an answer to that problem? Back here?
In the Rambam seems to quote
Oh, exactly. So the answer is, even that the Rambam has an answer for, not even that, but I mean this is all part of the Rambam's consistent shita. Where's that Rambam? Perek Dalet, Halacha Vav, right? The Rambam says, Bishabis Mesa V'Ochel. Again, Misha Mesa Mutal Lefanav, Ochel B'Vayis Acher, Eilu B'Vayis Acher, Osa Mechitza V'Ochel, Eilu Dover Lassos Mechitza Machzer Pana V'Ochel, again, the Rambam likes that language, differentiated language of Mishnah. Interesting. And then he adds, "B'Shabbos Mesa V'Ochel Basar B'Shose Yayin Umezamin Umevarich Umevarchin Alav Umezamin Alav." Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then he adds, "V'chay b'komitzas amurs b'torah chutz mitash mishamita." That's a strange formulation, right? The tash mishamita is not, is a remnant of the dvarm shebitzina of iser, not a dinin, chiyuv or p'tur mitzvos. one would think. The answer is, the Rambam l'shitaso, this is what the Nosa Kalim point out, I think the Lecha Mishnah in particular points this out, right? The Lecha Mishnah? Right, the Radvaz, on the other hand, says, V'nira du adin l'chol dvarm shibitzin anoeg, v'chein kasav araj v'tshuva. But I think it's a Lecha Mishnah. Is it a Lecha Mishnah? Somebody points it out. One of the Nosa Kalim here points it out that the Rambam is Lashitaso. Right? The Rambam basically understood the Gemara Brachos as relating to not Nihuge Avelos Bisman Aninus, but the Chiyuv Ona. Right? So the Chiyuv Ona, which, you know, often expresses itself, particularly on Shabbos, doesn't apply Bisman Aninus. Well, the Rambam, in that respect, is Lishitaso. That's Perek Dalet Halacha Vav. If you look at Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Ches, where the Rambam speaks about Chasan Avel, again, it works very nicely. Heichen Kol Tzarche Asuda, Ofa Pito Tavak Tivcho, Kadeshi Kansul Lasimcha, Mes Lames, Kamshi Kansul Lasimcha, Imlo Nasan Mayim Agabi Basar, Mokar Basar, Pasan Noik Shiva Samea Velus Achach Noik Shiva Samea Mishnah. But my question was, a second ago, why? Right? There's no problem, there's no Easter. Vim Nasan Mayim Agabi Basar, Yev Shar Limkar, Machdisa Samesa Chedav, Sakasan Lakan Lachupa, Ubobil Smitsu Poresh, Benoig Zainime Mishta Vakrach Noig Zainime Avelos, so call us a Yamim Noig Bedvarm Shabbatsin of Kishabbos. Lepika Huyashan Ben Anashim, Hishena Ben Anashim, Kadesh Sham Shmitasa, in Monum Takshit Menakala, Hayab Makram Shef Shalim Karabasar, Abishanasan Alav Mayim, right? Mocha Benoig Avelos Trila, Hayab Makram Shef Shalim Kar, Abishanasan of Mayim Noig Shusme Mishta Trila, Pamedram Mishmeisav Shokasam, Imashokala, Timnasa Besudo Enlo Mishi Yitrach, of a mace of Via Shokalo, Mima Shokasan, or Shakroveam, Nogin, Zainime Evel, Tchila, Nachat Tichanis Lechupa, Vinagus, Sivasime, of Mishta. So aside from the question of why, if it's Efshar Limkar, or Porish, why Porish, Bias Mitzvah, you know, why Boel and then Porish, and why the difference between Av Shokalo, Av Shokasan, and Mima Shokalo, and everybody else, it's clear from the Rambam that there's no problem. The Rambam isn't self-conscious in this halacha, l'shitasa, because he says in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis that Nihugi Avelos don't apply. He says in Perek Hei Halacha Aleph, Tashim Shazi Hamita is Nihugi Avelos. Even the Gemara in Brachos, he interprets, if you look carefully at his language, as a p'tur for the Chiyubona rather than as an Isur, and Betoras Dvarim Shebetzina Asur. So the Rambam is perfectly fine and good with our sugya. This to be contrasted with the Shita of the Ramban. Okay, so Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, again, we'll finish up in a couple minutes, but and we'll maybe quote some of the Lashonos tomorrow, but the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam develops what view?
The
what? Avelos and Aninos seem to come together, or that the Dini Avelos already start Mishas Misa in principle, right? And they're the only reason if they do start Mishas Samisa, how come there is no Nila Sasandal, Atifa Sarosh, Kviya Samita? Why?
Those things apply once it's Kvura.
Right. Why do those things held back for Kvura?
I think it was a pragmatic thing, or no?
Yeah. So the Ramban, in one passage at least, in the main passage, says, because of the din of Aninus, in principle, Aninos should have triggered all of the Dine Avelos. Right? And it should have, by the way, also triggered, this is something that the Ramban also discusses, how come the Zion, the Dine Avelos, don't begin Mishas Misa? Why do they begin Mishas Kvura? Again, the Rambam never would have asked such a question. For the Rambam, it's absurd to ask such a question. Right? Because Avelos is triggered by the event of the Kvura. But according to the Ramban, who seems to be overlapping, right, it seems to be considering the possibility that Dine Avelos begin Mishas Misa, So A, why are there exceptions? And B, the structural question, how come Zayin Yimei Avelos don't just begin Mishas Misa? But the two answers basically are connected, you know, to answer both questions. One is that since there's an added element in Aninus that you also, that competes or that is a rival for applying Dinim. Namely, Esek B'Kvuras Sames. So the Esek B'Kvuras Sames militates against Kfiyas Amita Nilas Asandol Atifas Arosh. And since you can't begin all of the Nihuge Abelus, that's also an interesting idea. You know, at the moment of the Misa, because of that, therefore, the Zion Yimei Avelus were delayed as well. That's an interesting idea to say something interesting about the Zion Yimei Avelus, right? That the full complement somehow, right, Lemaisa, is a sine qua non for the 7 day period. You don't have to say that. Yeah.
But wouldn't that be an issue with, say, Chag, like Regel, where we do begin the Shiva, but we're not knowing everything, we're only knowing Devar Meshav Tzina. So it seems to be a little at least.
So you have to say that it's a good Har on your part. You just have to say that these are two different situations.
Right.
Now, the interference, just like we were talking a second ago about the clash between, you know, Osik B'Mitzvah and, you know, Hefsin Mamon, and Osik B'Tzorchei Tzibur, and, you know, Aninus and Avelus, you know, with other mitzvos, and everybody's struggling to try to say, well, some things are Afga, some things are a, you know, some things are Hutra, some things are Tchuya, some things are, you know, right? Mm-hmm. So too, you're right, you would have to, in light of the Ramban's comment about the integrity of the Zayin Yimei Mishta having all the Nihugim, right, you'd have to make an adjustment for Yom Tov and for Shabbos to some extent too. Because what about Shabbos? The answer is Shabbos isn't so bad. Obviously, Shabbos is part of every Avela, so you know we expect that, we anticipate. What?
Ruggles is really the issue, especially in consideration that it's being like Ruggles being compared or Chatzal is being compared to Raga.
Yeah. Raga. Okay. So we'll see about Chatzal also, but it's a good har. It's a good har. Not a. It doesn't, you know, it's not a killer, you know, but it's on the contrary. In light of what the Ramban says, so looking at this other question leads us, you know, to conclude that the clashes and the ability to integrate all the material, all the evidence is going to be different from one to another. And we can understand why, but it brings it out. It's a very good point. Okay. So this is according to the Ramban, I say we're basically, okay, according to the Ramban, so Ramban's view is that Tashma Shamita applies to Onei. Ramban's reading of the Gemara, he quotes the Gemara Brachos, right? Is that the Gemara Brachos proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Tashma Shamita applies to Aninus. The Ramban's reading of our Gemara, the fact that you're Porish Miyad, the fact that we, you know, that if you can sell everything, that, you know, we don't, you know, go ahead. The fact that there's a difference between Abed Shal Chasan and Ima Shal Kala. All of this says to the Ramban proves that Tashma Shamita begins Mishas Misa. So the big question for the Ramban just remains, so if that's the case, why are we making? Okay, so let's talk about the Rambam, the Ramban, and the Ritva just for two more minutes now, and then we'll, you know, continue tomorrow. So as I say, for the Rambam, everything in the sugya, at least, is much clearer, with the exception of the two questions that we asked. Okay, the difference between Aninus and Avelus as institutions, Le'inyan Hefter Bia as well, you know, is the source for it all. This Gemara confirms, again, it's hard to know which comes first in the Rambam, because he's a global thinker, right? So, to what extent is his reading of this Gemara, you know, partially responsible for his, you know, important shita, that Aninus Luchot and Avelus Luchot. You know, is it an application of it, or is it part of the formation? It's hard to know. It's impossible to know. But it's an intriguing question to ask. Darno Nihuge Avelus. Aleph Beis, Dalet Vav, Hey Aleph, etc. Okay. According to the Rambam, a major benefit, the end of the Sugya reads well. Yair, what's the end of the Sugya that reads well according to the Rambam? The end of the Sugya. Mamish, the end of the sugya, the last words of the sugya. What are the last words of the sugya, practically? Remember? Adam?
Right,
yeah. The Gemara wanted to know, remember the Gemara was dealing with a different question. What's the question that they were dealing with? How come, when it comes to Nida, right, once there was a initial Maisabia, we're not worried about Prisha? Right, we trust them together, right? And yet, when it comes to Chasan Avel, it seems like there's a special Chumrah, right, where we don't trust them. Mm-hmm. How can it be? So at one point, the Gemara says, well, maybe Shiny Chasan Avel, because since we're Mekil, we're worried that they're going to be Mezalzalbo. Adam, right? So then the Gemara says, what are you talking about? What's the Gemara saying? Yeah. So basically, what's the Gemara saying there? That the fact that we allow the chuppah and the bias mitzvah to go forward is not a kula in the avelus of a chasan. Correct? That's what the Gemara says. So that line is a terrific line for the Rambam. Right? Because is there really a kula in the avelus of chasan? No. What the Gemara is basically saying is, you know, Tashma Shamita only is Asur Bizman Kibura. Right? Before that, it's Aninus and not Avelus. And since that's the case, so there's no Kula here. Right? Adam? Okay. So that is a terrific line for the Ramban. That seems to be a problematic line. I'll make a suggestion, but it seems to be very problematic. Why? Why, Adam? Tashmish is already also Bizman Aninus, and we were matirid for the sake of Chasan Avel, so aren't we making allowances for Chasan Avel? Unless you want to be technical about it. I'm already anticipating. How could you be technical about it? Asher. I'm going to be technical about it, but then, you know, you still need to justify. What do you mean by technical about it? Gabe? David? Say again? Well, I would say like this. It is true that what we seem to be discussing is whether or not there's a special chumrah required for chasan avel during the period, you know, after the kibura, right? That's what we're discussing. So even for the Ramban, you know, there technically is a difference, meaning there is no kula in the Zman Avelus, there's a kula in the Zman Aninus. The question is that that's technically correct, meaning we're talking about you want to impose a chumra, right, of during the Avelus, Lachar Kvura, and you're saying because we already already pushed this one to the limit here in the Avelus, and the Gemara is saying, well, not really, because our Kula was Bizman Haninus. The problem with that is that for the Rambam, that works perfectly because there was no Kula. There was no Kula Bizman Haninus either, really. And even if there was a Kula Bizman Haninus for the Rambam, you know, it's easier to say Aninus Lachud and Avelus Lachud. The Ramban doesn't deny that there are differences between Aninus and Avelus, meaning the Ramban will not tell you that the Dine Aninus extend to Avelus, and he also admits that technically some of the Dine Avelus, you know, only begin Lachar Kvura. Right? So the Ramban could say, well, there's nothing wrong with reading the Gemara. The Gemara says there's no Kula in Avelus because Avelus begins Lachar Kvura. The problem, of course, is that that just seems to be, if we take the Ramban without any, you know, additional insight, it seems to be, so what? That's a technical answer. It doesn't really make sense because the din of Tashma Shamita, if it's really triggered completely by the Misa, so we were Mekel in this Chasan with regard to Tashma Shamita. Right, technically it was on the Anita side and on the Avela side. Right? That seems like too much you know, of a formal answer that doesn't make sense. Okay, so we need to think about that for the Rambam. But for the Rambam, my point is that the end of the Gemara is perfect. The end of the Gemara isn't just saying, oh, you know, there's a difference between this Avelus has been, you know, pristine. Basically, what we're saying is that that even the Aninus. So the Rambam has a wealth of, you know, benefit from all this. All right, what about the Easter Bats of Yayin in Aninus for the Rambam? In general? Why is there an Easter Bats of Yayin if there's no Dine Avelus? Okay, that's hard to know. Either Lamaisa, part of Kvuras Ameis, like Rabbeinu Tam, doesn't seem like that in the Rambam, as we read. So what is the din of Basar V'Yayin? Hard to know. If it isn't a practical thing, what is it? Again, Bishlam of the Ramban Udimei, it's easy to say, well, you know what? Really, everything begins with Shas Nisa. And maybe that's the most intense moment, V'Acharisa Kiyom Mar. And the only reason that everything else doesn't begin, or at least it seems like there are chumras and avelos and kulas and aninos, is because of the pragmatic element of Esek Hametz. According to the Rambam, right, who thinks that really Dine Avelos only begin Mishas Kvura, why is there an Isur Basa V'Yayin? Yeah.
Could be like Ein Simcha V'Yayin or Ein Simcha V'Basa.
So maybe this has to do, maybe something like that. Maybe it has to do with it's a din in either Kavod Ameis. I think that's one possibility. It's just what you're reveling in Basar V'Yayin when they're not the Esek Ameis. I don't think that sounds that way in the Rambam, but the, you know, the still Misha Meis Amuta Lefanav. Maybe the Mechayev is again Yakra the Shivcha, or maybe what we could say is the Rambam doesn't deny that there are expressions. On the contrary, maybe this is. Flows from Ein Aninus Ela Belev. Right? For the Rambam, it's not that, you know, all the Chumras are Mitzad Avelus either. The formal Nihuge Avelus, and that stage of Avelus, begins Mishas Kvura. Ram doesn't deny that there are certain intense things about Aninus, it's because it doesn't have Nihuge Avelus, it just may be different. And on the contrary, right, Ein Aninus Ela Belev, we said before, could be a Chumra, could be a Kula, could be just a neutral or a reality. Right? The din of Haruge Bezdin. Rambam paskins that. So for the Rambam to say, and Kadshim, and those things, if let's say, it is, even if it isn't just a din in Avoda or in Kadshim, maybe it's a din in Aninus. Maybe it's part of Ein Aninus Ela Belev. Right? The existential, you know, or the calamitous crisis, you know, the existential crisis that he feels, you know, at this moment makes, you know, Kadshim and Avoda, you know, impossible. It makes it impossible or not necessary to suppress, you know, the Aninus Belev, even in the case of, you know, of Haruge Malchus. And as far as Basar V'Yayin is concerned, and that you're right, in Simcha Ela, the idea of Simcha, Bizman Acharisa Ki Yomar, that's not an expression. It's not so much Maisa Avelus or Nihuge Avelus. That's part of his state of Agavra being Bitzar. Yeah.
Is it possible that Basar V'Yayin are supposed to be
maybe, I was thinking that also a little bit. So either as an expression of personal simcha, like Josh was saying, ein basar, ein simcha basar v'yayin, or maybe the fact that basar v'yayin plays such an important role in the world of karbanos itself. So in a way, this is a kind of like a outside the mikdash kind of an echo. It's just we're speculating because we just don't know. It's a kind of an echo of that world, but for the same reasons that we're discussing. 100%. I think that is, you know, and for the Rambam in particular, you know, ein simcha basar v'yayin as a spillover of the world of Karbanos, as we know, from his psakim in, you know, Shalmei Simcha and Simchas Yom Tov, etc., I think that actually works very well. Okay. So, I think this idea may also explain the other point in the Rambam, or one of these two ideas, and that is what you asked before, and what I expanded on asking, which is, well, what about Aviv shall kala and imo shall chasan, and why is it bol bilas mitzvah buporesh, and why is it that, you know, even if it's aviv shall chasan and imo shall kala, you know, if you can avoid the financial loss, you know, then you don't have an excuse to do it. What's the counter pressure? Bishlam, according to the Ramban, you know, there's an Isur Tashmish Amita. But according to the Rambam, what's the big deal? So the idea here, I think, would be that if there's some urgency, even if it's financial urgency, you know, and certainly if it's a din in kiyum in the chuppah or quality of the chuppah, so there's no iser to overcome. But the idea of a gratuitous, you know, chuppah or bo bilas mitzvah, either bismano aninus, or maybe a different point, in terms of delaying avelus, take this step to delay avelus. I'm not sure for the Rambam it's the step of delaying avelus. Sounds like it's in the aninus, but it could have been either one or the other. Maybe that is considered to be, since it's gratuitous, since there's no downside to being poresh, or there's no downside to delaying, maybe that is either an expression of bizayon ames, right, or of acharisa biyomar, just like basar v'yayin. In other words, when there's, and what I'm suggesting is that it's not the pressure overrides that, right? It's that when there's pressure, we don't perceive it that way. That's gratuitous bizayon ames, zilzul ames, or gratuitous inconsistency with vacharisa kiyomar. You know, and aninus belave is not acceptable. But we have a very, since there's no iser, there's no nihugim, right, there's no, you know, formal din, therefore it's just a very kind of a sliding scale as to what, you know, is rationalized and what justified. Yeah?
What is the fact that, you know, they have to, like, you know, Ruya Hashem Ben Hashem, Yishan Ben Hashem, make it seem much more like it's about the actual mate rather than about the bride and groom? I mean, why, if it's about his own personal intensity and emotions, that this is like, you know, how am I going to deal with this on this particular day when I'm both...
No, but I'm not saying it's pragmatic. What I'm saying is that becomes an expression which makes this an unacceptable behavior, just like basar v'yayin is an unacceptable behavior, just like the other expressions are. So I don't think you can prove from there, from the language, you know, one way or another. I just think it's important to understand that the problem is a different problem for the Rambam than it is for the Ramban, but that nonetheless there's still plenty in the Rambam's understanding of aninus that provides you in either of these direct, whether it's, you know, again, yakra, you know, demes, or it's a din in gratuitous, you know, expressions that are inconsistent with aninus belave. I think either of those work with, again, the hu yashem ben hashem, hi yishen ben, that's just part of the, you know, the prisha and the chashash part. I don't think that really proves anything. It's the poresh part, I think, which is ikar, or the fact that we, you know, dafka of the shalchasan, or dafka, you know, when he can't, you know, save himself from the financial. I think those are the issues. And they, to me, reflect the gratuitousness, which in turn dictates whether or not, either from a mace point of view or from a vachrisa kiyomar point of view, there's a problem. Yeah?
Could there be something about the havanas ames?
Say again?
Could
well, yeah, I mean, in gratuitous havanas ames is part of that too. Both in terms of zilzul ames, and I think so. I think that's part of it too. 100%. Yeah?
Can it be like the Ramban, where he asks Kashas and Bahag, you specifically want to connect the Rishon to the Shabbat Mishnah, especially for the Rambam and Mahatma Mitzvah and Parakasvah, the Kiyumin that the Rishon provides with the Ishus, we say that we don't want to separate the Birishon from the Shabbat Mishnah. And like the Ramban said, even though technically you could have.
But that should be, I hear that, and I think that's we'll discuss that too, but that should be a din in Hilchos Ishus more than in Hilchos Aveis. And what I'm suggesting is that it seems from the Rambam, the way he quotes it, here also, Nichos Avelos, maybe for pragmatic reasons, but I'm trying to explain it from even from an Aninus point of view for the Rambam. But you're right, an additional element would be, what Rabbi's saying is, in addition, there's also a, you know, a Kiyum and Inimei Amishta issue. Right. In other words, you know, to what extent is it appropriate to delay and so on and so forth, to break things up, right? Okay. I should really stop here. Let's talk about the Ramban for a second. So for the Ramban, do we have another minute? People? All right. people going anywhere? I have to run print, but but I have another couple of minutes, so why don't we just take another couple of minutes? Again, for the Ramban, as you say, so that's the Rambam approach. We're just going to get back to the Rambam in a tomorrow, just to fill out the rest of the picture, because I think it is. And right now, we've tried to explain that even Aninos for the Rambam is an important institution, and it's a stage in Tsar. Again, unless we want to put everything on Kavod HaMeis, the mace is sitting there. It's Misa Meis and Lutva Lefanav. I'm suggesting that it's more than that. Right. But I'm going to, you know, extend that idea, in particular in light of what we've already seen a little bit, and that is that the Rambam himself isn't as chad v'chalak, as it were, as we would think. Right, that's the Rambam that I mentioned on Monday, right, Aaron? Which Rambam? Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, where he seems to learn Avelus Doraisa from Lachalti Achatas, you know, Hayom, right? Hayita Beinei Hashem, which is a pasuk about the Dinei Aninus, not about Avelus. Right. And that's of course a question that the Nosei Kelim ask on the spot there. So that'll help us also to just expand what we're saying here, but so far so good, I think, for the Rambam. The Ramban has, I say, certain benefits and certain problems, right? The benefits for the Ramban are all the problems of the Rambam. Anyway, why Dafka Avdu Shochasan? Why Dafka Porish Miad? Why Dafka, you know, if you can't get rid of the financial, you can't neutralize the financial loss? The answer for the Ramban is because there's an Isser of Anina, there's an Isser of Tashmin Shamita for Onain as well. Correct? The difficulty for the Ramban is, so why we make him? Especially since Ramban, part of his presentation seems to be that Aninus is the most intense, there's a hierarchy. It goes from the, you know, moment, Mechayiv is the Misa, that's the greatest moment of pain, right? That's the Kriya is the Shaschimum, etc. It's Vachrisa Kiyomar. So things have got to get better, not worse. So why we make them? That's the problem. The second problem is, what do you do with the end of the Gemara? Okay. So how does Ramban resolve the main problem? The main problem, Jonathan? Mainly, why are we Mekel Ba'aninus and Machmir Ba'avelus if Tashmish Shamita applies to Aninus as well, and Aninus in general is more intense? What's the Ramban's answer to that question? We'll read the Lashonos maybe tomorrow, but what's the answer? You see it? He has to answer that question, doesn't he? That's the question. Avram?
Yeah, it's also an essay that he has been sort of
through. Okay, so, but it's an essay with regard to Avelus being Doch Avelus too. That's it. Ramban asks different questions. I mean, how can Chuppah or Shivas Me'amishta, you know, which is maybe only Darabanan, how can it be Doch Dinim Daraisa? Then he's giving that out. We'll discuss that. That's not exactly this problem or this issue. Hanan? What does the Ramban answer to the question, how come it's better to do this Bizman Aninus and not to wait for Avelus?
He says, Yitiru, and it sounds like because of Sasuke Sumit.
Yitiru because of?
In general, at that point, Aninus says, Kedeshim, if I can't ask it for us,
but. No. Okay, but that's why. Again, Kviya Samita, Tifa Sarosh, that's why you have these other kulas, fine. But what's the, in our sugya, the big problem of our Tosis's question, in other words, that the Rambam says, well, you're wrong because there's just no counter pressure here. Then we have to figure out, well, if there's no counter pressure, how come we're so ginger, we're working so gingerly, you know, and that's what we were trying to explain. By either Kavod HaMeis or Bakri Saki Omar, but that's much more flexible for the Rambam. Fine. For the Ramban, you have the opposite problem. We understand very well why we're being ginger, why we're moving gingerly, you know, and why this seems to surface very easily, but then why are we making the chiluk? This is the most intense period. What is Ramban's answer to that? Asher? You see it? The guys didn't get to reason our much. I hold off. Robbie?
So I like the Ritva's answer.
The Ritva's answer we'll get to in a second. Okay, we'll get the Ritva's answer and then we'll stop at that. But what's Ramban's answer? Basically, not so difficult.
One spell for the other.
Exactly.
That the Bias Mitzvah is Doha the Aninos.
because they're both mitzvahs aside.
Well, that's again the answer to the question. No, that's kind of what.
That's what I
we were saying before. I was saying, meaning the what's drabbana, what's darais, how can it work? But why not wait for the avelos, which is less intense? That's the question.
And they're both equally intense.
They're both equally intense. That's the answer, or there's a certain benefit. What's the benefit, Yitzi? We'll get to that a little bit. What you benefit from is if you had done this bisman avelos, it would have been too late. What Ramban basically says in terms of the Isur Tag, the clash between Tashmi Shamita and the Kiyum of Simcha and Su'uda, that's the same. Maybe it's even a little worse than Anivas, but it's certainly not better. The problem is that once you have the Kavura, the Shivas Me'amishta, the Shivas Me'avelos are unstoppable. So the only way to ward off, the only way to get the Zion Yimei Mishta in before the Zion Yimei Avelos, and to keep that Retzef with the Chuppah, right, is to do it before the Kvura. That's the answer. In other words, for the Ramban, the question is based on a wrong assumption. Tosus and maybe the Rambam, and we'll see in a moment the Ritva, are all basing the question on, as if it's a straightforward clash between two things. Right? We want to do the mitzvah of chuppah and bias mitzvah for various reasons. That's one pressure. And the counter pressure is, right, the Isra of Tashmi Shamita. The Isra of Tashmi Shamita is as intense, maybe more intense, bisman aninos. That's the problem. So Ramban basically says, inochanami, from that standpoint, there would be no difference between aninos and avelos. But you're forgetting something. And that is, it's not just the chuppah and the meal and the bias mitzvah. It's also the benefit of being able to trigger Zion Yimei Mishta and delay Zion Yimei Avelos. You could do that with Mananinos because there hasn't been a Kvura yet. Right? But the Shiva period does depend on Kvura. And if it was after the Kvura, you'd be in the middle of the Shiva. Right? That's Ramban's answer to that question. Right? The assumption's wrong. It's not in the straight clash that we're making this decision. There maybe it's equal or we're losing a little bit. The benefit is this fringe benefit? It's more than a fringe. It's getting in the Zion Yimei Mishta before the Zion Yimei Avelos. Right? Except that. The big problem for the Ramban remains, what do you do at the end of the Gemara? The Gemara says that la'achar kvura, that's when avelus begins, and therefore any kula in avelus, you know, is not really 100% true for the Rambam. So let's hold off on that. What's the ritva? Let's just get the ritva on the record, and then we'll stop. Okay, what does the ritva say, Rabbi? Really, the ritva says I hold like, it doesn't say it, but I hold like the Rambam. Right? Meaning that in a regular state of aninus, there's an isur tashm shamita. And as far as that is concerned, it's equal or worse, and it would be unjustified, right, to interrupt the, or to override the isur tashm shamita baninus or avelus. However, there's one factor that makes the two of them, that allows me to proceed as if I'm a Rambam man, even though I'm a Ramban man. Namely, the Hagdara of Aninus. Aninus, which is also B'tash Mishamita, is, what's the Hagdara, Rabbi? Mishame Samuta Lefanav. Which means, not just physically Mishame Samuta Lefanav, but Chovas, an Asek, Kavura. But if they're Mosek, B'mitzvah Patam, if there's something that allows me, or that determines that I'm not actually in the chalos of misameis but the lefanav of esek v'kvuras ameis, then that's not aninus. And if there's no aninus, there's no isur tashmi shamita. The hagdara of aninus is more flexible, and therefore we don't have a clash with the din aninus. We only have a clash with the din avelus. That's a brilliant answer, except it's based on a certain perspective which needs to be fleshed out starting tomorrow. Namely, even though the Ritva seems to be adopting the Ramban's view that in theory this Tashma Shamita for an Onain, right? It doesn't seem correct that he's accepting what the Ramban seems to say about why that is. Meaning what? Shua. What do I mean by that? What triggers the Isur Tashma Shamita in Onain for the Ramban?
In the Ramban, it's inappropriate to say
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll revise that. The Pashtus, before we revise anything, I don't think that is an act. That's our initially how we would look at it. I would say it a little bit differently. Maybe that's true for the Ritva.
Doesn't that kind of align where he groups Tashma Shamita together with Simcha?
Where he groups what?
He groups Tashma with Simcha.
Yeah. So we'll get that's part of the revision a little bit of the Ramban, which I'm going to get to. But before we get to that, just in terms of what we said so far. If I asked you, why are you Asur B'tash, why is an Onin Asur B'tash Shemitah? What triggers it? Let's just ask you that question. What would you say?
From the fact that Onin is like the same thing as Abedis.
Okay, just to be a little more, a trigger, what you're saying is correct, but a specific trigger, what does it? What happens that triggers the Isur B'tash Shemitah? What event?
Misa
Pashtus, right? Misas Hames triggers Nihuge Abeilus, except for the ones that interfere with Kavura. Right? You agree? Is there Misas, is the demand die in this case? Mi Machnisin also Lecheder. We can speak a little insensitively, because you know he's only an abstract person. We shouldn't speak insensitively either. But the point is, just because Machnisin also Lecheder, which was a horror that I made in the beginning of the reading of the Gemara, like it sounds like, you know, put him in a closet, we don't want to think about him. I think it's very important. Meaning, even whatever Haterim we have, in a way, we can only proceed with because Machnisin Oso Lecheder, Machnisin Es HaKasim V'Tzakal L'Chupa. Even for the Rambam, right? Because otherwise it's a Zilzal Ames, and it's a, you know, Achrisa Ki Yomar. You can't be looking at him and seeing this. For the Ritva, I think it has a totally different meaning. Machnisin Oso Lecheder, Es HaKasim V'Tzakal L'Chupa, he doesn't have a shame Onain of Misha Mesa Mutalafan of Misha Osei Pekibre Ames right now. I think it's brilliant according to the Ritva. But even according to the Ramban, right? So Machnisin Oso Lecheder, great. But that doesn't stop the fact that he's no longer alive. Right? What the Ritva is assuming is that what? The Isur Tashma Shamita Vone in Shua is what? It's the shame onein, or the chiyuv kvuras ames, or the chiyuv kvuras ames is kovei the shame onein. Onein is asur b'tashmish hamita b'toras onein. But according to the Ramban, one might have argued that what? That it's not b'toras onein, it's b'toras misas ames. He's misas ames whether you're going to be osik b'kever now or not. So, for example, again, just to continue for the moment, the end of the sugya, which is a problem for the Ramban, not a problem for the Ritva, right? Because the Ritva will tell you, even though generally an onein, even in this particular case, there's no kula. There's no kula in the Avelus. Avelus l'chud and aninus l'chud. There's a din of tashmish shamita for onein. There's a din of tashmish shamita for avel. They're two different dinim. It's a double benefit for the Ritva at the end of the sukkah. Number one, there was no kula for this onein. Because he didn't have a shame onein, it was machnisin oso lecheder. Right? And even if there was a kula for the onein, right? The mechayiv of Isur Tashma Shamita, of onein and avel, they're still two different dinim. He's betoris onein, mishamesa mutalafana of the chiyuv, kura. And this is B'toras opposed to Kavura. So it's a double benefit for the Ritva. According to the Ramban, right, if the Misa is the Mechayev, and that's just the hierarchy of intensity of Vacharisa Kiyomar, then the Ritva's answer doesn't work. Now, the language of the Ritva is particularly interesting. Robbie left, but who has language open of the Ritva? Avi, have it? David? Chaim? Anybody have it?
Yeah,
Shlomo, go ahead. For also the connection between Basar V'Yayin and Tashmish Shemitah is terrific. Right? Especially in light of the Ra'ah, that it's not pragmatic, and the Ra'ah, of course, is a huge influence on the Ritzvah. So this connection of Tashmish Shemitah and Basar V'Yayin, not for a bit of time, but what's he saying? There's no shame oning. But for Ramban, there's a shame oning. I don't know. But for the Ramban, to put it this way, there's an Isur Tashmish Shemitah here on the table. So for the Ramban, the end of the sugya remains very difficult. And even if there's a technical answer, you know, it seems too technical. It was told so technical and Asher didn't want to even, you know, take a stab at it. Right? Because he dismissed it. Okay, I understand that. So we'll just have to see if there's some way to rehabilitate that end of the sugya, you know, for the Ramban. Okay. So this is, I want to speak a little more about the Ritva and the implications of it. And a little bit tomorrow. And then just to revise a little bit the Rambam and Ramban's view of Avelus, and then speak a little bit more about what's Daraisa, what's Drabanan, how this clash with Chasan Avel goes, a few of the other sugyas, but we'll try to move towards the end of these Mar Makomos. I'll probably give you more either tomorrow or Sunday, maybe Sunday, because we won't finish completely yet. Okay. Can we daven, or is it too early?
It's too early.
It's too early. 5 minutes? Oh, it's okay.